This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on November 11, 2025 in Hutchinson, Kansas.
About 5 nautical miles from where I live, through the mountains, there's a little log cabin. And in that little log cabin, there is it was sitting in the middle of a ranch, you would say, out here. And this little log cabin had dirt floors, and the people there was really poor. The thing was, they weren't poor in spirit, but they were poor in wealth. And this little log cabin had a little boy that lived in it. And this little boy, the first thing he remembered was he took his mother's hand and they walked up to the big house. And they got a hold to a paper was being read. And he said he didn't know who his dad was. I guess he'd been sold and sent away. But he said his mom was praying. She said, "This was my answer to my prayer, and I feared it would never come." See that they were set free that day when they walked up to the big house. This little boy's name was Booker T. Washington. Lives really close to us. If you ever come to Virginia, you need to go check him out. Booker T. had this desire deep within his heart, and his desire was that he would be able to learn to read and write. Booker T. wanted to be able to be educated, and he was watching it, and he had this dream. He dreamed of going to college, but his stepfather took him to West Virginia, and he made him work in a coal mine, and they had one school. They dedicated to one school for 8 to 80. All of them went into one room. They were all learning how to read and write together, and they wouldn't let Booker go. So Booker finally talked him into going at the expense that he had to get up at 4 o'clock and work in the mines till 9 o'clock, go to school, come back home, work for 2 hours in the mine to be able to feed the family. Well, Booker had a dream, and he kept dreaming of education. He found out about a college in Hampton, Virginia. It's the Ag Institute down there. He got his degree. Booker went home to teach, and then he heard about a store. He went home to teach. But before he got that, when Booker got there to that Ag Institute, there was a teacher gave him a test. See, Booker looked pretty bad. He didn't have any money. He hadn't had a bath in a long time. So finally she said, "If you're going to come here to attend school, you're going to have to clean this classroom." Booker said he cleaned that thing 3 times. He took it to where she brought a white handkerchief and wiped the tables, couldn't find a particle of dust. He said, "If you're going to do it right, do it right." So Booker, he went on, he got his education, went back home for just a few months, and they caught him down in Tuskegee, Alabama. And he got there for this new job, and they told him, "Well, there is no school here." He said, "Then we'll build one," and they did. And see, Booker T., he called George Washington Carver, and they together taught for many years together, and in 1973, when they finished up, Thomas Edison had tried to hire this George Carver at $50,000 a year in the 1800s. You do the math today. They'd done so well that they had 300 staff, over 3,000 students, and over 5,000 acres. Andrew Carnegie gave them over $600,000. Booker T. had a plan. He knew how to prioritize. And Booker T. knew all about uncertain futures. Interesting that when he died, that Booker T. said that when Booker T. died, they said that on his gravestone, it read this: "He was a wise helper of his race, a servant to God and country." Not many words, but there's a whole lot packed in those words. That's our hope today, that somehow we'll inspire you that if Booker T. could do it, you can do it. It's not that hard. We heard a lot about the economy and what we're facing, but we still live in a land of opportunity. And we live in a place where there's more opportunity than anyone else. And you know, there was another little girl, and she was a little girl that she was asked to make a commencement address at a local college down in Alabama. And she walked up to the podium, and when I think about planning and prioritization and perseverance that you're going to have to face in the next years before you, I think about what she said. She said, "I was born to a mother that was blind and deaf. I do not know who my father is or was. My first job was in a cotton field. She said, I simply believe that if you want something to change, you just ask yourself what it is you want to change, and then you do it. She said, my name is Ozzie Martin Taylor, the Secretary of the United States of America. If you want to change, focus on what you want. Write it down. Plan it out. Prioritize your time and let it go forward. Now, see, Abe's coming from a young zeal. He's coming from a young zeal. Gabe is coming from that young zeal. I think I'm coming from an old broken man, and I'm still young. I feel like that we were just married yesterday, but my perspective on what I'm going to teach is going to come from a lot of pain, from a lot of things that I've done wrong, whereas Abe seemed like he's still looking, and all he sees is the sunsets. And I guess that when you endure a few thunderstorms, it makes the sunsets even more beautiful. That's where we're going to come at it. I'm not going to ever try to say anything he didn't say was good and right, but we might have a little different perspective on planning and prioritization. And I think it all starts with the dream. It all starts with the dream. What little boy wasn't sitting on a tractor thinking he was going to either be a firefighter, or a farmer? Many of us was, right? Or an astronaut. We all have a dream. Or we have a dream that we want a wife and we want a family. We all have a dream. And you know, keep influencing the little boys and girls to dream, because it all starts with the dream, and you have no idea the great influence that you have in the dreams of the little ones. And you have to always answer that dream with a vision, and you have to begin with the end in mind. And that's what we want to tell you. We want to think about that, is how do you begin with the end in mind? And it starts when she's walking down the aisle, and you think she's going to be a hero, and you're going to be hers. That's good. And you're going to have children. And then the Lord may put you in a situation where you think you're going to have Down syndrome children. And then you go through some thunderstorms. And then you realize that the Down syndromes aren't the special ones we are, that they actually are the bright ones. So start with this dream. So how do you plan? You start with the dream, and then you head to a vision. Your dreams have to create your vision. And if you're going to live with purpose, then you have to head towards that goal, and you've got to focus. And if you study the thoughts, and you study the intents of your heart, and you study how psychology works, and y'all realize that there's a lot goes on in our minds. Just like right now, when I walked up here, there were six people present between some of us. It's who I think I am, who I want to be to you, and who I really am. And that's what happens when we all come together and we meet. And you think about as you go through life and you make your decisions, where thoughts go, life will follow. And that's a true statement that will happen to you in your life. So how do you plan? You commit it to paper. Come to a business planning workshop. Greg and myself just had one, and it was a very refreshing workshop. Because I think for the first time that I've ever taught them for Anabaptist Financial in the few years that we've taught them, there was a room full of young men looking for a future rather than a lot of old men with businesses. The biggest thing that you have to learn about is to learn to sit down and commit it to paper. Start really simple. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, if you want to buy a house, think about it in your personal life. You want to buy a house? You want to change your life? You want to do something good? Start with a plan. You want to hire someone new? You know, interesting. A lot of the things like we just heard is like, I have a big concern about hiring talent and keeping talent and the cost of my talent in my companies. Sit down. Do like Ozzie Martin Taylor. Do like little Booker T. And say, you know what? If you're a little boy, a little black boy in the coal mines, if you will sit down and you'll just write it on paper, this is where I want to go. This is the steps to get there. And then keep your focus. And it is amazing how fast you can get there. It's amazing how fast you can get there. Or if you don't write it down, it's amazing how you will never get there. You will never get there. If I can ever get you to remember one thing, it's that when you're going to stop, do anything you're going to do and commit it to paper, that's what we want you to think about. That's how you plan when you start about planning. A little bit about some practical tips. In all of our years of teaching, in all of our years of working with Anabaptist businesses, we come from a dairy farm situation where, as a little boy, milking cows, and we still are a dairy farm, and we still milk cows every day, and we still feed cows every day. I don't milk any cows, but we feed cows. But here's the deal. There's one thing for sure. You know why most of the dairy farmers quit dairying? Anybody have any idea? How many of y'all has ever milked cows or been part of a dairy farm anymore? Look at all the hands already. So now, how many of you are still milking cows? We have a couple in the room. Well, in the South, they would say it like this, bless your heart. And that, you know why a lot of people don't dairy farm anymore? It's because they don't think they can make any money at it. Simple as that. You can't make any money at it. And so I would say that growing up on a dairy farm that went through the 80s probably formed the perspective that I'll share with you as much as anything today. And there's two things that are big life changers. And that's what I want to think about for the rest of our time here. Is I want to think about our time and our money. I want to think about it in your life and personal, and I want to think in business. Because if you deal with these two things, your time and your money, then you're going to change your life. You'll have a different life than you ever thought of. And we heard this already today. If you get up, and if you don't like coffee, maybe it's tea or maybe it's just cold water. But if you'll give up and you give your first 30 minutes to God, it will amaze how much difference. Now, you know, I think about, I was a brilliant man. You know what happened? I'm not very smart. I learned everything the hard way. It seems like that I have a very hard head. And it's amazing. You know, the only reason I learned this is because I'd go to the barn. And when I get up, we just go and you're on just kind of automatic, right? You go feed the cows, you come in and you sit down. And then I was like, well, I have a couple minutes to catch my breath. I didn't realize how I was forming my life to change my life. That I would go out early, come back in early, and I felt like I had already done a day's worth of work before the day even began. It was a huge improvement to where I'd been. So if you want to be healthy, you have to be healthy in physical, and you have to be healthy in spiritual. If you're not going to do that, you're not going to do it. Now, I have a young daughter, and at 10 years old, she would sit and watch, I'll share a little bit our teenage girls through here today. They're your best critics. If you listen to them, you're going to get good, because they're going to tell you what you do or don't wrong. But every once in a while, they'll touch your heart. And they'll get you by your little finger, and they'll lead you to do things like buying horses that you said I'd never do. And so my little girl at 10 years old was listening one day, and she says, Dad, I think I'm going to get you some information to help you when you're teaching. And I was like, oh, that sounds good, you know. And sure enough, on my desk one day, pretty special time when that happens, a little note said, Dad, you know that a hen is the only thing that sits its way to success. I was like, yeah. Get out of bed and get going early in the morning. And she was trying to help me to be able to teach. So a little bit about practical tips about this. This may seem really elementary compared to listening to the banker the last time in his knowledge. But I want to tell you about two practical tips that if you want to do in your life, you want to do this if you're a manager or if you're just a dad or if you're a company owner. There's two things that we want you to write down on paper, and that's your people vision and your financial vision. What do you believe about people? What do you believe about your people? Write it down and never, ever, ever, ever drop your values on that. Make sure every decision is that. Because see, here's what happens with most of us. We get into our business gets to growing, and our people become numbers, and after you get about 50 people, the next thing you know, a person is a tool to turn numbers. Never let that happen. Never let it happen. Make sure you understand the difference between values and morals. You study that out, and you figure the depth of that, and you understand what I'm saying, and you never, ever give up on your values. And then you sit down, and you decide on your debt, just how much debt you'll tolerate in your life, and if you set that down, write it down, and the men that I've seen that's transitioned their businesses to the second and third generation have done both of these. They'll never mar what they think about people, and they'll never mar what they think about debt. And then sit down and write on your paper. I'm seeing this as a theme coming out of today, is y'all going home with some pen and paper. And one of the things you got to do is I want you to write down what your life and your business, write two of them, looks like in 2050. You might think it's a bad exercise, but it'll help you. And then once you write it down, you focus on it. And remember this, is that we have what we call weekly huddles, monthly financials, quarterly meetings, and annual plans. And this is big time in our business. And that is what we call communication tools. And I'll just share this with you. If you're dreaming and you're setting a vision, you got to have some communication to make sure everybody's pulling in that vision. Vision cannot be changed with communication. But the unity of vision can be maintained with communication. You cannot change talking about vision, but the unity of vision can be maintained with communication. Communication is the key to staying in unity. I don't believe that there's ever any unity unless first you disagree. The secret to excellency is disagreement. We can say it in a worldly term if you say it. The secret to excellency is a competition of ideas, which is disagreement, and then you unify to go forward in whatever way it is in your business. And then separate it out. And you know, I think the greatest danger that we're going to lose in your businesses today, you might get all your time right and all your money right, but if the homes are lost, we lose it all. I think that families and supper time are becoming a Hallmark movie. That's all they are. They're not out there. So make sure if you focus on your plan, remember you had a dream as a little boy. And you had a dream of a wife and you had a dream of children. Make sure you don't mar that supper time if you want to do that. And then when you're figuring on your plans, then you got to think about what's the worst, absolute worst that can happen. Think about it. Your mind is what's leading your life, right? The thoughts, so goes life. If your mind's leaving your life, the first thing you do is that you understand that you don't play games with your mind, but you manage your mind, you manage your thoughts, and you think about what's the worst going to happen. We're going to go bankrupt in dairy farming. That's what everybody thinks. By the way, for the farmers here, the dairy farmers, they say that if the dairy farmers would have been on, if it was only dairy farmers on the Titanic, that all perished, because they would have went all the way down saying, surely this ship's coming up again. And that's exactly what a dairy farmer has to realize, is that you're going to have to know that the worst can happen is that this business will end, and then move on and move on and move on. Now, you think I don't understand this? This is a backhoe. He was trying to load it, and it went down through there. But you know the worst could have happened if somebody could have died. That didn't happen, so we didn't hit the worst-case scenario. We did not hit the worst-case scenario. You need to say with the worst case, so if you're thinking about buying a place, doing anything you want to do, there's scenarios. The worst-case scenario, and then build scenarios. Commit it to paper. So here's one plan. Then you want to build a new building, say, this is my financial plan. Here's another scenario, another scenario, another scenario. That's the depth of planning that you've got to know. When you're really planning out, you've got to know how to plan with scenarios. And I'm going to tell you about myself. You think that I'm only telling you this and I don't live it. Let me tell you about the worst case scenario, is that you land in Wichita on Saturday night for a meeting on Tuesday. And when you land, you go out and you go down and you spend time with your friends. And then on Sunday night, right before you go to bed, you say, well, I want to show you the itinerary for this meeting. And you realize that all your files, all your notes, all your books is somewhere on a Delta aircraft. That is the worst that can happen. So prioritizing. So how are you going to prioritize what happens in your life? Time and money, remember, it's your choice. This was real. May I never let it rob my focus. I don't think it ever will, right? This happens every day. You get up, and we all get 24 hours a day, and next thing you know, you got $100,000 in your business, and you're going to spend it on CapEx. Are you going to buy which truck? How are you going to spend your time? There's all these demands on your time, and you got to think about how to prioritize. You've already planned that you're going to buy a truck, right? Well, now which one you're going to buy? Every single day it happens. And remember, your choice determines your destiny. That is absolutely important when you're making these decisions. Little choices determine your destiny. You think if you would have asked a different bride to marry, you think if you would have made a different choice in your career. Little things make big destiny decisions. And you have got to learn how to prioritize and use it the right way. So how do you do this? Well, this is sort of life. And they love to get my pictures. And the lady that puts these PowerPoint together, and see, self-awareness is the key. I do believe in life is self-awareness of really what's really who you are. Really what's going on is a big key. See, I see myself as a really energetic grandpa, and he sees a tired old man wanting a nap. That happens a lot in my life. And see, that's all he sees, and I know what I see. But you know, Dale Carnegie taught that. Live in daytight compartments, stop worrying and start living. That's a book that you need to read. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. If you can't understand how to prioritize, you need to get it. It's written by old, and I had to look at that slide and say, okay, I gotta stop worrying, I gotta live in daytight compartments. Because yesterday was not a good day, far as a fun, happy day, but it was probably a good day. I had to live in that compartment. So then how do I prioritize a little deeper? And this is really simple and really profound things. Little simple and profound. A schedule. Keep a schedule. If you don't have a schedule and it's a working schedule and a living, breathing document, make sure you keep one. It's like a time budget. A schedule is your time budget. And if you want to know how to get started with scheduling, start with a journal. Look at it from the way if somebody would put a camera of your life, journal, that's how you start a budget, right? 30 days, you keep a journal, and that's what you have to do. And then, if you have a schedule, you can keep from getting burnout. You know, Gabe was talking about how that he only schedules a half a day. Well, see, I had to learn it the hard way. I used to schedule 25 hours a day. And then I squeezed it out and prioritized that, and that's how I used to live. And I'm telling you, this little saying there, it's what's hanging on my wall. And we had to learn to schedule and to schedule and to schedule. And I try to schedule. I schedule more. I do it a little different than Gabe because I have to have a lot of things going on at once or I can't get anything done. If I only done it, I'll do exactly what's laying in front of me times a little more. And that's what I have to do. So you got to learn yourself. You've got to learn how to do it. The time is the biggest deal, so we're talking about our time and money. And you're talking about secular. Bill Gates went before college, and they thought he was going to give a great speech on what he said. What do we need to do? Bill Gates said, if you want to graduate and become successful, you learn time management. That's what we've learned. For me, time management is one of the greatest things that I need to do in my life. If you don't have a schedule and you don't have some time management going on, to me, you're running through a swamp of life. You ever done that? You ever run? Well, I don't know if y'all know what swamps are out here. But in Virginia, we have them, okay? It's where when you go into a low place and it's wet, and every step you're going in about 3 to 6 inches, and sometimes all the way to your knees. That's a swamp. And that's how you are. You're living, running through a swamp if you don't have it. Interesting enough, this is what we figured out. If you learn your psychology, your brain is actually working faster when you're asleep than when you're awake, if you understand how a brain operates in your mind. Your brain is categorizing, and it's trying to put together everything that you've seen and heard and everything you've done all day, and it's found it in this great old big filing cabinet called your mind. And that's what happens in your brain. And if you go to bed with a song on your lips, did you know you'll wake up with that song on your lips? And if you want another little test, if you go to bed with a song on your lips, and you get up with worry on your brain, you have not lived the way you should. And you have to figure out what to do about that in your life. But you need to learn that. And then weekly, and so here's a little bit. Gabe had to some of the same things. Get up 30 minutes, get done 30 minutes, and then have an hour on the rock. This was a Leonard Metter story. Leonard Metter said every single week, go out behind the barn, sit on a rock for an hour, think about all the good, the bad, the ugly, and then every year disengage for 1 week and sit down and disengage and don't even think about it. And that's called sharpen your axe. And shamefully, there's a lot of people that won't even give a day to come to AF to sharpen their axe in their local community. So how are you going to do this? How are you going to prioritize times about setting goals? You have to write down some things that needs to get done in your time life. And then you have to commit them to paper, and then you have to take them one thing at a time. You know, for me, it was like, okay, first I had to go to bed after I found out I lost my notes. I knew I had to sleep. And then secondly, at 4 o'clock the next morning, I knew that I need to tackle at least 3 or 4 pages of notes to recreate this thing, or I wouldn't be able to even get through the day. And then I had to turn that off, or I was going to get into situations with my wife where I was going to have to learn to practice reconciliation again. So I had to live in that order of importance while we were living together. And you got to understand that. We just heard, just Sunday, that you give a man suffering, and you don't know who the true man is, but you give him power, and you can find out who he truly is. Abe Lincoln said it, they said. You know, when you have a lot of us that are starting in business, there's this big deal about business. And you're trying to set these goals and prioritize your time, decide what you're going to do with your time in life. You need to know this, that if you don't watch out, you're making decisions on where you're spending your time trying to gather power, because we love power. Money doesn't push Anabaptist people that much. I figured that out, but power does. Look deep in your heart. What is power? Now, I'm not talking about power to be a dictator of America. I'm talking about just power to get others to do what you want them to do. And if you don't believe that, look out here in your pickups. How many of y'all has got the smallest engine that you could buy in your pickup? Y'all like power. Y'all like power. We all like power. Know that when you're working on your time, that you like power. And make sure that you sit down and write it down. Write it down. Write it down. So how do you prioritize money? Thinking about money now. Let's think about money. I hope, before I go there, I hope that y'all somehow, out of everything that's going on in your life, that you believe that you got to have a schedule. It's got to be a simple schedule, not a real complicated schedule. It's got to be a working schedule, and it's got to be something that you look at daily, and you got to believe in a schedule. And you got to know the difference between business and personal. And now your money. Now your money. Think about it this way. We talk to our people, and you know, happiness, they say, is not directly related to money, but you can do a study and find out that it really is to some degree. Because if you don't have enough money to buy food, you're not going to be too happy. Set down and have multiple saving accounts. This is just a couple tips that I can just tell you. Set down and have a multiple saving accounts for your car, for your house. This is one thing that I believe, that if you want to help a young man to learn what I'm trying to say about changing his life, managing money, the first thing that you can teach him is to make payments to himself for his vehicles. And if he'll set him up a vehicle account and start making $1,000 a month to it and only buy what's in there, it'll change his life. It won't be long till he's writing checks for new vehicles. And if he's making payments to himself, he won't buy the nicest vehicle. It'll teach him so many things. That's just one little thing. And be consistent. Be consistent in your decision-making in business. And then that's why we showed y'all in the monthly, quarterly meetings and things like that. When you're trying to prioritize your money, don't make decisions all over the board. Sit down and have a regular time. Say, I'm not going to spend money for things. I'm not going to do things. I'm not going to buy equipment except for once a month I'm going to look at it. Be consistent. Sit down, have decision times, and you can get through it. Now, why am I telling you this? Because in my life, I've been trying to figure out how that I was going to buy $1,000 worth of stuff when I only had 10. That's how I seem like I've lived my life. And then simple financial strategies. I had to throw this one. We have learned from a lot of different ones, and I could give you names, but it doesn't matter. Just sit down. Say, okay, I'm in trouble. And I don't have enough money for. I'm in trouble, and I don't have enough time to do. But if I'm in trouble and I can't pay my bills, or I want to buy something or grow my business, have a financial strategy that says I have this amount of money, I need this amount of money, and I'm going to do it this way rather than just run to the bank and borrow the money. And remember these financial strategies will give you what you need in life to go forward. A little bit about financial strategies. I'll throw you a little bunny trail here. You ever been to Jekyll Island, Georgia? That's where the Federal Reserve was created, and it absolutely has nothing to do with the federal government and absolutely no reserve. So you have to ask the last man that spoke here. He'll explain to you that before you go forward. But realize that financial strategies written down is how you reach where you want to go. Practical tip from Dr. Cole. He's on the Bacon Circuit. I don't know if y'all know him, but we've worked with him for many years. This is what he said. Anytime you have a financial strategy in your life, sit down, name the challenge, make it a game. And the one that he done was 2005 Operation in the Black. See, you ask your banker, so I ask you a question to this. Is it ever okay to lose $50,000 a month? Do you think so? Is it ever okay to lose $50,000 a month? Why do you say that? You do? You got a dairy farm? Yep. My banker loved it when we lost $50,000 a month because we've been losing $80,000. And see, Dr. Cole came in. I can tell you where the Wendy's is in Martinsville, Virginia, when he answered his cell phone for the first time in 2004 when we were losing $80,000 a month. And he got on a Delta plane and he translated all that we were doing. He translated energy into math, meaning he took down and he said, this is how much it costs you to put a gallon of milk out. And he had it on a Delta napkin and he came in and he started helping us. He said, we're going to call this thing 2005 operation back in the black. And I don't know why he said back, because we never seen black. It had been red since we started. And then the next one he called is we started Vision 2020. And our next one now that we're using now is Vision 2050. And we're setting down trying to keep our boys in line to 2050. Name your challenge. Make it a game. Create a plan. It'll change your life. A little bit about the unclear future. I want to go back just a second. That's all I really can give you in 40 minutes about planning. Come to a business workshop. That's how you plan, and that's how you prioritize. I hope I give you a couple tips, just one thing you can do to come home. But here's the deal. You will have an unclear future. There's one thing about it that's interesting as I was putting this together, is you're going to have challenges in your life, right? You're going to have some unclear times, and you're going to have to deal with some negative things in your life. I never dreamed that Brad, my partner, wouldn't be a partner managing with us since 1997. He now is out here in the land of Kansas. And I guess I've got out here and you see everything so relaxed. And so you come to Virginia and you got a hard time. I guess you just send him to Kansas and everything's all right. Because he's out here in harvest, but it's not all right with him because his wife was killed tragically in a head-on collision. And it changed his life. So that is an unclear future. You will have that in your life. Here's what we call them, the four D's of destruction. You're going to have people that leave your company. You're going to have people that get divorced, even in the plain people circles. You're going to have disease like cancer, and you're going to have death. Make sure that you plan for these times to come. You're going to have them to come. You say it's an uncertain future. This is what I want to share with you. If you're a young man and you haven't had a good, hard challenge hit you yet, and you think, well, I'm on the right track. Greg's got a little saying that he says when he teaches, he said, you might be on the wrong track, but if you're sitting still, you still get hit by the train. That's what's going to happen to you. If you have not had one of these things, be ready. And what we say is write contingency plans. You want to write a contingency plan? Do you know what is going to happen if you die tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen if your best people are gone tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen if? And don't spend a lot of time on them. I'm talking about just an afternoon. Sit down and have a contingency plan. And we're beginning to learn that if you'll write a contingency plan for what happens if I lose this great man, I'm going to do these things. Those contingency plans are the absolute most brilliant growth plans that you'll ever have in your company. Because then you can come and you can do something to take care of that problem or that contingency that you had, and it will take you into your future in a positive way. So, you've got to learn perseverance. Where's America going to be in 2050? What's your life going to look like in 2050? And I'll just share you this. In the uncertain future, everybody's all really upset. And what do we find? Immorality is rampant. Their homes are falling apart. And we feel like that rebellion is like everywhere you go. And you feel like that people are at each other's necks and they're almost devouring each other. Do y'all feel that around us and everywhere you're at? And this is what I share with you here. It's not new. It's not an uncertain future. My dad had a son in 1974. And you know what was happening in the 60s and the 70s? They were called hippies. They were destroying families. Immorality was rampant. There was drugs on every corner. And there was a lot of rebellion. They said that there was a total rebellion against government. And you know what they done? They done what they needed to do. Kind of like what we just heard finalized. They learned to live. God will get you through that. You can get through these times if you keep your focus. You keep it wrote down. Write down exactly what you want it to be, and you'll get there. Keep your focus in the right place, and you'll get there. Another little story on perseverance. This was from 1999 to 2022. So you think we're sharing a little different than where Gabe was. He's sharing in that future. I'll show you some history that maybe frame my perspective. Maybe gave it a little different. And what I hope that you learn that you're going to have to plan, you're going to have to prioritize, but most of all, you're going to have to persevere. Because you're going to hit some of these really hard times. Interest rates are going to go up. Things are going to happen. The wheels are going to fall off the train. And you know, at the creamery, there at Homestead Creamery, we started that when we were a young man. Didn't even have a faith at that time. And we talk about how not to get into burnout. I hit burnout. But I was working them long hours, and it wasn't all bad. I used that extreme focus on business to pull me out of some dark times. That ain't all bad. Just make sure that once you get pulled up in the right direction, that you know how to throttle it back. That's what we did in our life. And when we met Dr. Cole there, we had started in 2000. So in 2025, we had over $1 million of extra debt, not counting the debt we had to get started. Dr. Cole calls that the past sins debt. And it takes 6 years. He says, as a general rule in all his banking years, it takes 6 years to pay your past sins debt. You know what past sins debt is? Making bad financial decisions, making bad business decisions, trying to grow your business too fast, doing bad things in life. And it could be that it was just a bad thing happened to you, like a drought took all your crops. And it maybe wasn't a past sin, but it might take you 6 years to get out of that. And this is something that you got to know. You're going to have your setbacks, and you got to have your vision. We were sitting there. We had a business plan. We were taught in 2002 how to write business plans. And at first, we wrote some really glorious fictional plans that made bankers tickled and then made them disgusted. And then we learned how to write plans that were touched, that had a heartbeat, that were in our heart, that really made a difference and that we could do something with. And this is what we had. After we were losing money, I had to meet the banker, and I wished he was more friendly like the last one. But my banker didn't smile a lot. He was a good man. He was like my second dad. He didn't smile very much. We were working on the waste at the creamery, and he came up and he said, "Dave, how'd you do this week? Well, it was one of them days where I haven't slept probably in 2 days. I was thinking that I already had our farm leveraged, and I hadn't even bought it from Dad yet. I was thinking about how I'd got myself into this mess, and about the time I got started going good, I started with a faith. I committed there, and I was thinking about what I was going to do. And so this was starting to work. My conscience was beginning to work, and I realized I was in a bad place. And he said, "Well, have you got the waste took care of, and we're working on percentages? Are you down under 5%? Nope. And I had a lot of reasons why. I thought there was good reasons. I really did. I thought there were really good reasons. He didn't even look at my numbers. He shut the book, and he pushed it back. Now, Dr. Cole, see, he knew that I was in a really hard place. The board had elected me to be the leader in that creamery. And Dr. Cole was there, but he was sitting there really quiet. And his name was Chip Softly. And he gave it back to me, and I was like, "Well, you're not going to read it?" And he says, "No, Dave, I think we need to have another talk." He said, "When you're going through a hard time like this, you need to know that real men will never take another man down with him." He said, "You got to learn how to draw a line, Dave. And you got to learn to draw a line. And that line is in financial line that you're not going to cross that line. And that you'll stop and you won't keep plowing." Well, I said, "I done crossed the line. I've done crossed the line." He said, "Well, real men won't take other men down with them." That's what I'm going to leave with you on persevering. Real men won't take other men down with them. And I stopped then and decided it's probably over. And I changed my whole life. And I sat down and put a plan together. I prioritized my time. And I tried to learn how to get through perseverance. And I tried to learn how to get some wisdom. And I tried to live up maybe to what Booker T. did. That little boy in that little cabin. And he said, it's not measured, success is not, by the position, but the obstacles that you've overcome to succeed. And that's what makes you a man. Don't let life rob your peace. And I started realizing the wisdom gained from that experience can help young men. So the ones of y'all that's in here that have young men, and probably almost every one of you in here that's somewhere around 50 or older is facing transition. Whether you really want to accept that or not, you're facing transition. And as you go to transition, make sure that the legacy on people and finances has been taught. Make sure you've taught your people, your children, your employees how to manage their time and their money. Make sure that they know how to dream, and make sure that they have a vision. And make sure that you share your wisdom with them in writing, in a plan. The greatest plan of all days is what? What is the greatest plan? You know what it is, and it's written down. If it was only talked, how would we get it right? You've got to pass it on. You've got to teach how to plan. You've got to teach how to prioritize, and you've got to teach how to persevere, or your future will be dark. And remember that it's okay to shut your business down. You can plan to shut it down. In the brightness of the light from a godly man to shut a business down and to accept what I would say financial defeat, if done the right way, can be more brighter than running three generations of a business and financial success. I've seen it done. I've seen bankers cry over the integrity of a plain man by helping a banker figure out how not to lose money in a bad situation. Learn to plan. Learn to prioritize. Learn to persevere. Now, I got to talk, try to tell you, guess what? This is us. All of a sudden, this was the last marriage, and we're empty nesters. Have you ever found yourself about 50 years old? And all the dreams you have as a boy feels like you've kind of, you quit dreaming. And I figured out that I've quit dreaming. A lot of things has happened. All of a sudden, now they're all gone. And I did have a dream that the girls would have stayed around a little longer, but these other boys come along, and it kind of took that from me. And so all of a sudden, we're empty. And what are we going to do? Because my wife says we're not going to travel like this, but so often. And so we got to find out another dream for life. And you know what I figured out? I figured out this really ugly truth about myself. And I don't know how many of y'all that are my age or older that are trying to figure out how to keep dreaming. And it's this. There's this ugly truth that I think that the problem with myself is I have the fear of losing out of my comfort zone. Man, glad I got through that. And so my boys will have some, and I say, that might bring some trials. Let's just take it easy. Any of you have that trouble? I'm trying to learn how to dream. I'm trying to learn how to go back again. Now, I don't want my dreams to be great big businesses all over Virginia or the nation, but I've got to learn to dream again. And y'all have to too. You can't never stop dreaming, and you can't never have a vision, never be left without a vision, or you're going to perish. So remember, whatever stage you're in, when you get that girl, you got to keep dreaming. When you get a little older, you got to quit dreaming. When you transition your business over, or your business reaches its goals, you can't quit dreaming. If you quit dreaming, you'll just start the humdrum of life. And do you know what the difference between a grave and a rut is? You know what it is? It's simply the depth.